Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah, the Globe Trotting Program, known to be the travel program, Shukar Alhamdulillah. And we talk about all different destinations. And I've just received an SMS asking, I'm traveling to Zanzibar. I would appreciate any info on halal food, travel and places of interest. So happens that on Friday, I had a meeting with the Serena Hotel Group. The Chief Operations Officer was here from Kenya, because the company, the Serena Hotel Group, is based in Kenya, and they've got hotels around lots of different parts of the world. And he was around this past week, and an appointment was made. They called me and they asked me if they could make an appointment to meet up with him, which I duly did on Friday, met up with him. And the first question, it was a Muslim gentleman by the name of Muhammad as well. The first question I asked him, and I looked at him and I said, my first question I'm going to ask you. And he said, halal food. I said, how to? Because that's the first question I get asked all the time. What's the situation of halal food in the Serena Hotel Group? Which they've got a hotel in Kabul and Pakistan, and they've got, on the African continent, they've got quite a few. They've got Rwanda, they've got Mombasa, they've got Nairobi, and they've got Tanzania, they've got Zanzibar also. And they've got lots of hotels around the world. So I asked him the first question about halal. They are going in the direction of halal at the moment. They are sourcing all their meats from halal sources. They are checking the halal situation out wherever their hotels are. They say they are concentrating on halal because of halal tourism. And they have found that there is a niche in that market, and they're going for it. And they're looking into all halal places. And that is one of the reasons why he came here also, to discuss the halal situation. And they really want to go into halal now. So as far as Zanzibar is concerned, I will respond to that SMS regarding other places also, but just in passing, that there's lots of Muslims in Zanzibar. Lots of the hotels are not all Muslim owned though, but lots of Muslims work in those hotels, and they will tell you what is halal in that particular restaurant. Lots of these restaurants, hotel restaurants, you'll find that the Muslims that work there will tell you that just be careful of this or be careful of that, because they know it firsthand, they are from there. And from personal experience, that's what you will find. And they will tell you, be just very, very wary and careful. What you should do, if you are going to Zanzibar and if you feel that you are not so, it's not so safe, get onto the fish pot. Before you have any seafood meals, talk to the chef in charge. And you tell them that your meals for that 7 days, whatever it is, please, because lots of Muslims working inside, lots of Muslim chefs also. Tell them for your preparation, please, if they can, just try and keep it aside and do some separate preparations, which they would do. They do have the khawf of Allah in their heart, and they will do that for you, inshallah. So that's what you can do. Stick on seafood if you can, and it will be quite okay. Though you will get meats which are halal. There are certain hotels which do have halal only, and you can get your meats from there and have your meals from there. So it depends where you're staying also in Zanzibar. So that is just a response to that, but I'll get more information, inshallah. Now, the Bahamas. When you hear Bahamas, the first thing that comes to mind is Bahamas, and the pictures that you see of Bahamas, you only see that beautiful oceans. And that is a holiday destination. And a holiday of destination which is pretty expensive though, but a holiday destination which is extremely, extremely beautiful. And it's unique in that it offers the best of both worlds, first of all, but more so on the island side because of the way it is situated. Now, the Bahamas is an archipelago of about 700 islands. Obviously, when they say archipelago of 700 islands, all islands are not always inhabited. You'll get a portion of those 700 islands which will be inhabited. Where you'll get the very small islands which has nothing on it, just one big tree in the middle. That also is part of Bahamas. That's also an island which is part of Bahamas. So you look at the inhabited islands, and you have the uninhabited islands. Now you'll have 2,400 uninhabited islands. They call it the islets, and you get only a few from 700. You got 700 which are inhabited, 2,400 which are uninhabited. So it is huge. That whole area is huge. Now, if you look on the map and you'll see where the Bahamas come, where Florida is, if you know this North America, where Florida is, right down south, just past Fort Lauderdale on the eastern side, you'll find about 80 kilometers from Miami, you will find the islands of Bahamas. And they extend for about 1,250 kilometers plus minus. And from the 700 islands, there are only 30 which are the main islands which are inhabited. And the most important is the New Providence, which is about 205, 210 square kilometers, on which the capital Nassau is situated. Other islands include the Grand Bahama, the Abaco, the Andros, Cat Islands, San Salvador, or they call it the Watling Islands. You'll have all those islands. But the main island from all of them is the Nassau Island, which is the capital of the Bahamas. And with the lure of a big city and the ease of tropical utopia, Nassau and Paradise Islands are considered by many as paradise, I would say. And if you're looking, you sit there and you look at the Qudrat of Allah, you look at the ocean and you look at the beauty of that and you say, Ya Allah, what have you created for us on this earth? And what beauty you'd find there. Nassau, the capital of the Bahamas, is a bustling metropolitan hub full of culture and modern amenities. And to the north lies Paradise Island, and its name tells you everything, Paradise Island. And it's about 685 acres of pure euphoria, developed almost exclusively to delight and accommodate any visitor that comes there. The island boasts resorts, hotels, restaurants, shopping complexes, shops. You've got a golf course. Aquariums are all... In fact, if you're looking at that whole region, you're looking at the Florida area, even in Florida, you'll find the most beautiful aquariums there. In Miami also, you'll find beautiful aquariums. In Tampa also, you'll find beautiful aquariums. I think that whole area, they specialize in aquariums because they have the best of sea animals and sea creatures which they capture and they put in those aquariums. And it is just stunning. When we did the... We did a Caribbean tour and we did Miami, we did the whole of Florida. You know, for almost every tour that you would do, they would suggest that you go to one water park or you go to one aquarium. And you look at these unique animals. Allah has given them intelligence. And you look at these unique animals. You look at the dolphins. You look at the seals. The manatees also. You find the way they displayed and the way they are. The way they are marketed on that side, and you see how these people treat these animals with kids' gloves. And it is just amazing to see that. What beauty. What intelligence these animals have got. Beautiful. It's just amazing. Now, Nassau, the capital city of the Bahamas, is located on about a 40-kilometer-long New Providence. It's the 11th largest island, and Nassau's main harbor is protected by Paradise Island. And the harbor attracted settlers in the early days, particularly pirates. In fact, Nassau's population consisted mainly of pirates until about the year 1720, around there. When the Bahamas' first royal governor expelled them, and then he restored order and built Fort Nassau, the Bahamas for centuries adopted his motto at the time, that they must expel all the pirates, which means that pirates have to be out of the country and commerce had to be restored. And now you have 212,000 people. They call the New Providence Island home, with a large portion of them residing in Nassau. So the population there, as we know, is plus minus, which has probably grown since statistics have come out, probably about 250 to 300,000, plus minus, I'm saying. And that is the population of that, of Nassau. So, alhamdulillah, so you're looking at that particular city and that particular island. Then you have the Pompeii Museum, which was formerly called the Vendure House. The Pompeii Museum is named for courageous slaves. Now, if we know that whole area was slaves from West Africa that came up there. And that whole region, even if you'll find Florida, when you go to Florida, you'll think you're in a Spanish country. You'll hear only Spanish. Even at the airports, you'll hear them talking Spanish. Because lots of people from South America, from the Mexicos, they migrate up to Florida. And when they, because it's the easiest entry point from of South America, it's on the tip of South America, so they enter from there. When they go up into America, they go in from Florida, and they probably stay over there, get their cars and so on, and they will start working there. And you hear them talking French, you hear them talking Spanish, and many a times you'll find the Mexicans, you'll find them all at the airport, and that's their language. So you'll find it's a country of migrants, many. So even the Bahamas, you'll find many people from West Africa. That is why you'll see their features also. They have that African features in their English, in their European features mixed, and you'll find them in that particular region of the world. So they have come, lots of them have come as slaves then from West Africa. Then you have the retreat gardens. The retreat gardens is an 11-acre property that houses one of the largest private collections of rare and exotic palms in the world. Now, if you're looking at a garden where you have palms, but they treat those palms, they look after those palms, and they create a whole little forest, I would say, and a beautiful forest with different types of palms. They specialize in palms, and they have got about 170 species. It is one of four national parks in the New Providence and headquarters of the Bahamas National Trust. And then you have the historic heritage sites, which the New Providence is home to Gambia, Adelaide, and Fox Hill, three historic villages settled by liberated slaves in about the 1800s. And the villages still maintain their rich African heritage and culture, and sightseeing tours can be arranged by appointment. Now, whenever you go to these countries, what I always suggest is when you go for a tour, many people ask me when they say they're going for tours, what tours can they take? Don't just take city tours and go have a look at the city. Try and do cultural tours. Because when you go to a country, that's what you go there to see. The culture of the people, the nature of the people, the type of people, what they do, how they live. And it is just the amazing part of the different cultures that you find that makes very, very interesting reading and history for you when you go for a holiday. Because like now, when we got back from Malaysia, we were taken to a cultural village in the ocean, in a part of a deep into the, yeah, it was an ocean. Just as we went in, we found that there was like a lake that, an extremely huge lake with rivers running in. And we were taken by a speedboat deep into there where there was a small little island. And we found that there were people living on that island, but no clue of the outside world. No clue of any satellite dish on the top of their roofs or anything. And all their houses, I would call houses, had palm tree leaves on the top. They had palm tree leaves on the sides, stacked by the dozens, I would say. So it keeps cool inside. Most of these things were built on stilts on the island. So in case if the water rises, it's built on stilts. And that's the life they lead. And just to go there and see, and where they took us for a small little experience of how they target birds to eat birds, those big birds. When the birds come flying onto the island, when the bird just lands on the island, they've got a pipe, a long pipe, which they put a dart inside the pipe. And the gentleman that showed us that, how he does it, he puts the pipe into his mouth on the one side with the dart in the pipe. And as the bird just settles, he must just have his target on just right in front of him. And he blasts it with his mouth and he targets the bird and he just drops the bird there. And how quick. It was amazing to see that. And that's the type of culture that you see. You don't only see the Western culture, which we see all over the world. People go for a holiday, they would see the Western culture. Even if you go to Dubai, many people go to Dubai and they look at the Western, they look at the culture, they look at the Western side of it, but they don't look at the culture of that particular place. Go in and look at the culture of how the Bedouins lived in the desert and so on. Go for those experiences. Likewise, we're talking of the Bahamas, we're talking of the Caribbean, we talk of the Florida Keys. Go in and look at the culture of the people, and you'd find that there's lots of rich history. For example, in the Bahamas, you'd find African people, the migrants or the slaves that were taken from West Africa, most of them being Muslim at the time, taken to the Bahamas. Obviously, they changed their identity and they brought them into the country. But lots of them, They were Muslims. When you see them also, you can see the African features. Although they mix blood now, but you'll see the African features. And go there for their cultural tours. Do that. Whenever you go for a holiday, go out for the cultural tours like that. And I think you'd enjoy that wherever you go in the world, because you learn the heritage of the people, the culture of the people. And when you do that, that is what you want to know. Obviously, you go to whichever country in the world, you want to know about the people of that particular country, how they live, what they do, what they eat, what work they do, how they enjoy their lives, you'll find, for example, in the Caribbean, when you go to probably Mexico, and you'll find in Mexico what happens is siesta is of a very, very important part of their lives, which is also part of Islamic life, where siesta is important. And you'd find in the afternoon, after lunch, 1:30, 12:30, 1:30, we took a walk around in Cancun, walking around there in the residential area. While walking around in the residential area, you'll find the house doors open. They've got those netted doors, those steel netted doors, which has probably just with a spring and it's closed, but the house door is open. In the lounge, lots of it, in the front lounges, you'll find the hammocks from one corner to the other hooked on, and you'd find people sleeping on the hammocks with somebody on the side of the hammock on the floor, another one on the bed on the couch or something on the side, and you'd find all these houses, lines and lines of homes. That's what they do. They have that culture in them. And for about an hour, hour and a half, that place becomes dead, totally dead, the residential area. And thereafter, you'd find everybody coming up by about 3 o'clock or so, getting back to work, getting back onto their carts and whatever it is, and life is then normal again. Culture like that. Go in and explore those things. And then you have the Grand Bahama Islands. There's something for everyone on the Grand Bahama Islands, with a distinct mix of historical appeal, modern attractions, and ecological wonders. Your visit is sure to be memorable. On Grand Bahama Islands, you can combine a glamorous vacation at an upscale resort with a charming allure of a small town boasting one of the world's largest underwater cave systems. So if you are going to the Grand Bahamas, make sure you visit that. And if you are a diver, I think that would be the best thing ever to do in the world. And you go in, it's the largest underwater cave system with 3 national parks, endless beaches, and crisp blue water. And the Grand Bahama has got it all. One massive island. So if you're looking at the map also from Florida side, you'll find the Grand Bahama Islands is not far from there. Where you have Paradise Island further, then you have the Andros, you have all these small islands. So Grand Bahama is the place to be. When you go there, make sure that is one of your places that you have to visit first of all. And then you have the historical heritage sites. And the historical heritage sites, you'll find New Providence is home to Gambia, Adelaide and Fox Hill, with 3 historical villages settled by liberated slaves in about the 1800s. And the villages still maintain the rich African heritage. And then you'll find that is of something which you have to check. You have to go check that out. And then you have the Patterson Kay National Park also, which is just about 1.5-2 kilometers off the southern shore. That is about, it's about 1.5 acres in size. And it's one of the smallest national parks in the Bahamas. And the park area includes the Kay and the surrounding about 0.5 kilometer of marine environment. And then you have the Rand Nature Center. And then you have the underwater caves, there's many underwater caves. And then you have the birding also. There are so many, of all the 700 islands and caves that make up the islands of the Bahamas, the Grand Bahama Island hosts the second highest number of native bird species. You can see between 18 of the 28 species of the Bahamian birds that are not seen in the USA. Now, whenever we go for holiday, we tend to go for holiday just to go to cities, go in the taxi, move to that shopping center, check out the dresses, check out gifts for everybody. When you go for a holiday, which many people do, you get out there, the first thing you do is, I need to buy this for that kaka mama, and I need to buy this for that one, and I need to buy this for that one. Well and good, buy your gifts. But don't make that your priority. Don't go do that and say, I'm going for a holiday now, I'm going there. No, rather, you go for a holiday just to buy gifts and do that. And that's what happens all the time. You'll find many, many a times people do that. go out there while you are on tour. You may just stop somewhere, do your little shopping to buy some gifts for some people. But you'll find many a times, oh, tomorrow I've got to go shopping, I need to go buy gifts for all the family, so my whole day is done. No, man. Enjoy your holiday. Have a good time with everything else. Leave the shopping with by the by. While you're moving around, just leave the shopping for that. And that's when you will enjoy your holiday most. And I can identify many, many people doing that. And if you are listening to what I'm telling you, you're shaking your head and saying, how true. And that is a fact. I find many people, when I'm abroad as well, I find many, many people saying, I need to do the shopping for, I need to buy this gift. Okay, fine, do it. But just do it by the by, in passing, while you're there. You're obviously going for tours. While you're going for tours, you just go and you stop there, you buy something and you continue. So you have that. And then you also have the pink sand beaches. Everyone's list of the world's top 10 beaches includes Harbour Island's famed pink sand beach. But pink sand beaches are spread over about 50 kilometers on the Atlantic Ocean side of Isla Terra, and as well as the Exuma Sound, which is the Caribbean Sea, on that side of the island, and the mainland of Bahamas, you'll find the pink sand beaches. And when you walk into that ocean, I repeat this time and time again, picture this, you're walking into that ocean, you are going waist deep, and when you look down and you lift your big toe and you can see your toe through the water, as the water ripples to the top. What a beautiful holiday. What a beautiful sight and scene is that. Inshallah, for myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.